Welcome to Routines and Ruts, a podcast about our daily rhythms and inevitable stumbles. I'm your host, Madeline Dorr, and I'm here with part two of this bonus episode. In part one, I shared with you that this podcast and the labor of love that it was part of, Extraordinary Routines, has come to an end. I also spoke about a cycle of endings and beginnings that we encounter not only with projects, but also people, places, and the things that we love. Life, after all, is a cycle of endings and beginnings. So with that in mind, I thought there is no better way to end this podcast than with the beginning. As many of you know, the podcast is part of a project, Extraordinary Routines. This started out as a search for the perfect routine. I thought that if I could master my day, I could master my life. But I very quickly observed that there's no such thing as the perfect routine. We all have different ingredients, so we can't recreate the same recipe. In fact, our days don't even follow a perfect routine. They actually turn over in a cycle, much like the endings and beginnings. Sometimes we might have a routine and a rhythm, but that very routine can become monotonous and turn into a rut. And other times, unexpected things jolt into our lives and we can find ourselves stuck in another way. But instead of judging the rut or trying to rush ourselves out of it, we can actually learn a lot from these periods in our life. My hope with this podcast was to inspect both of those sides without judgment, the times that we might be in the bountiful spring, but also the enrichingness of the fallow. And I delve even further into this cycle and these phases in my book, I Didn't Do the Thing Today. So I thought it would be really fitting to share an audiobook sample with you here as a way to wrap up the lessons from this podcast, but also because I think the routines and ruts are just as necessary as the endings and beginnings that we encounter in our lives, especially when we allow them to be things that work for us rather than things that we need to fit ourselves into. If you've already read or listened to the book, thank you so much. It's been lovely to hear from many of you. If you love the book and you'd like to help get the word out, you can do things like leave a review on Goodreads, tell a friend, or share on social media so that more people who need it can find it. If you're interested in the book, you can find all the links in the show notes or just go to your favorite bookstore and ask if they have it in stock. It's designed so that you can dip in and dip out of different chapters and there's no pressure, as the title suggests, to read it all in one go or to read it in a hurried way. You can take your time with it and pick it up and put it down as needed. And so on that note, let's dip in to chapter 3, The Hopeless Search for the Ideal Routine. I hope you enjoy. Creating the ideal routine can, rather ironically, be the very thing that lands us in a rut. A thing that was providing momentum starts to feel tired, the pursuit of improving ourselves makes us feel exhausted, the chasing of better becomes boring. A rut is a pattern of behavior that has become dull and unproductive. And with that definition, can't we say the same thing about a routine, which is, after all, merely a sequence of actions regularly followed? When we find a rhythm that works for us, we have momentum. But over time, that very rhythm settles into monotony. The path becomes so worn that we can find ourselves stuck in a rut. We might strive for the optimized day, but when we reach it, if we ever do, that is, it will eventually make us feel stagnant. A steady routine can begin to feel like an unrelenting Groundhog Day. While we glorify routines, we tend to judge being in a rut. But just as a schedule can provide comfort, a rut can alert us to when comfort has become inertia. Disruption brings new possibilities in how we interact with our day, a particular situation, or the people around us. As Tolstoy put it in War and Peace, once we're thrown off our habitual paths, we think all is lost. But it's only here that the new and the good begins. As long as there's life, there's happiness. There's much, much still to come. We need to find ourselves in the rut in order to notice that things are not as we want them to be. Our work, our relationship, our living situation, our approach to our days, and something new and good can begin. If we didn't have the rut, we would remain on autopilot
unchanging, unalert to new possibilities. For this reason, a rut isn't something we need to shy away from or rid from our lives, but rather something that can reveal to us a new way forward and even prompt us to introduce variety back into our days. We can rarely force ourselves out of a rut. We'd simply become further wedged. Instead, we need to be patient and curious and reflect on where we are in order to find a new way forward. We might have a period of shutting down and doing very little. We might retreat from socializing or activities we'd usually enjoy. Simple tasks suddenly require more energy and effort, so we minimize what we do to sustain our energy. We no doubt feel stuck when we're in a rut, but we can slowly retool ourselves towards a new way and adapt. I remember listening to the podcast This Jungian Life, where this process of adaptation was compared to making butter from heavy cream. You shake and you shake and you shake and nothing happens. So you shake and you shake and you shake some more, and suddenly you have butter. Moving out from a rut is similar. We have to work at it for a long time, sometimes repeating the same action or feeling like nothing is making a difference, feeling like we're stuck in the churn of it all, and finally we arrive at something new. Such a transition can be tiresome or discombobulating, but it's how our days are eventually refreshed with change. Sometimes being in a rut can be the making of us. As I learned from the writings of Joseph Campbell, where you stumble, there lies your treasure. Ruts are often a prequel to change. Something nudges us when we're in the rut and we find our way out. Sometimes the sudden realization, one unfulfilling Tuesday afternoon, that we're in a rut can be enough of a nudge. Other times, the nudge comes from outside us. It might be a bereavement, a breakup, an illness, a job loss, a disappointment, a rejection. A life milestone can be a nudge, or an interruption to our usual way of doing things. Falling in love, the birth of a child, a new job, finishing school. All these nudges can prompt us to ask who we are and what we want out of life. As the social researcher and author of The Kindness Revolution, Hugh McKay, told me, the more we learn about human psychology, the more we realize that change, uncertainty, unpredictability, disruptions, unexpected events crashing into our lives help us to clarify this deeper sense of who we are and what we need to contribute to life. This isn't to glorify the pain and suffering we can experience from the different kinds of ruts we encounter in our days. Rarely do we enjoy such experiences at the time, but we can perhaps pin some hope to the fact that on the other side there is often something new awaiting. At the very least, we can be sure to meet a new version of ourselves, one with more experience, one with a changed perspective, one who has been able to restore through being still or enduring the churn. While a rut can be a great catalyst for change in our days, sometimes the nudge doesn't arrive and we remain stuck. We may want to remain wedged, sink deeper, spiral. We might start out doing fewer things so we can rest, but over time we find it harder to do anything at all. Withdrawing from the world can make it difficult to return to it. If we don't experience a nudge, perhaps we can engineer it. We can all get habituated, which means it's easier to overlook what's constant and pay more attention to what's novel, whether that's something good or bad. So, by that logic, moving patiently out of the rut requires we do something different. We must move when we have stagnated. Yet moving may be the last thing we feel like doing. For the times we cannot summon the motivation to move, we can perhaps just shift ever so slightly. As Washington Irving wrote in Tales of a Traveler, there is a certain relief in change, even though it be from bad to worse, as I have found in traveling in a stagecoach, that it is often a comfort to shift one's position and be bruised in a new place. A slight shift or nudge can be uncomfortable because we don't always know we are experiencing change. We keep adjusting and bruising in new places, unsure why whatever we do keeps hurting. We can't always see that we are in the valley. It simply feels like the world is moving on without us. But it's the willingness to shift, even when it's uncomfortable, that can help us see that we will once again reach the peak. From my own experience and from my conversations with others, it is when we remain open to shifting and adjusting that we eventually find ourselves in a new position where we find a rhythm once more. As the author and artist Mari Andrew told me after experiencing a string of heartbreak and grief, I wanted to find ways to make myself happy and mentally strong. All of that was done through a routine, drawing once a day, taking guitar lessons twice a week, doing yoga, waking up earlier, even just learning how to do my hair in new ways. That's what I find fascinating. A routine can be the thing that gets us into a rut, but it can also be what brings us out of one. Such shifts happen on a granular level in the sleep we get, exercise, eating well, a creative outlet, and can be the very things that help form a new routine. Instead of getting entangled or tumbling over the ideal version of a routine, we can see individual components as supports and nudge ourselves on until they feel more comfortable. Over time, we might start to recognize what we can rely on: time spent with certain people, enough sleep, enjoyable activities, places, rituals, even books can all become like pillars for the difficult days. It can take us a long time to learn what we need to keep momentum or what steadies us, and it often changes. Maybe we need to underscore the importance of scattering different building blocks across different parts of our lives, rather than funneling our entire sense of self into one thing, one focus, one goal. We can scatter it across our lives so that tumbles don't throw us off course completely. After a bad day at work, a ceramics class or a visit to the local pool or a drink with a friend might be what helps you remain upright. As the writer and broadcaster Benjamin Law told me, often when we've invested so much of our sense of well-being, so much of our sense of worth into these singular goals, we forget that there are other, smaller things that are just as important. Spending time with your family, exercising, trying out the new recipe that you've wanted to try for a really long time. This, to me, is what self-care looks like, because caring is not about fixing completely. Rather, it's a work in progress of fostering, trusting, and shifting position as necessary. To care doesn't have to be costly and prescriptive. It's often the mundane things that provide a sense of agency to move towards a new rhythm in our days. So a slight shift when we're in a rut can be as simple as going back to basics. Tidying your sock drawer might give you a sense of control. It might be exercising when you prefer not to. It might be seeing a friend or protecting your solitude. It might be doing hard things like making apologies and forgiving yourself or arranging your finances. It might be getting enough sleep. It might be putting clean sheets on your bed. It might be taking a nap and not feeling guilty about it. Self-care is often a private moment, not a bubble bath that we want to share on social media, but an ordinary act that brings us back to ourselves or introduces us to a new version of ourselves. We rarely find ourselves immediately springing into action after a rut. We are often nudged through intermediate stages of two steps forward, one step back, but we eventually find our way. In this continuous cycle of the routine, the rut, the nudge, we eventually find ourselves once again with a new rhythm to our days. We settle into a new home, we ease into a new job, we start dating again. We feel a sense of possibility for a different future. We feel the strength of our perseverance. Naturally, our entire lives don't turn over in a perfect sequence. While we may have a newfound sense of momentum in our work, we might be stuck in a rut in our relationship. At other times, it can feel as if we meet rut after rut after rut. Our days are made up of peaks and troughs, stops and starts, and sometimes long stretches of stagnation. We don't need to apply judgment to one phase or glorify another. We can simply allow ourselves to be in the part of the cycle we are always moving through. As the novelist Haruki Murakami wrote in the Wind-Up Bird Chronicle, "The point is not to resist the flow. You go up when you're supposed to go up and down when you're supposed to go down. When you're supposed to go up, find the highest tower and climb to the top. When you're supposed to go down, find the deepest well and go down to the bottom. When there's no flow, stay still." We will always find ourselves in the cycle, shifting through the stages, but knowing this can help you get through the current ebb and trust there will once again be flow. Often when we create space in our days for listening to our needs, when we persevere with the churn, when we allow for the nudges, we find there is still so much life to live between the rut and the rhythm.
Thank you for listening to the sample of my audiobook, I Didn't Do the Thing Today. I believe that we can find our own way, and that is actually the best way. And the book provides a gentle guide for doing just so. If you enjoyed this snippet, you can find links to the audio, print, or ebook version of the book in the show notes. Or I encourage you to visit your local bookstore. Thank you for listening to this podcast, Routines and Ruts. It's been such a pleasure to share these seasons with you, and I hope you embrace the ebb and flow of the next in your life. If you'd like to keep following along with my work and writing, you can subscribe to my new Substack newsletter, Madeline Dorr on Things. But for now, I'd like to send you all good things for your endings and beginnings and the empty, enriching space in between.